Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
I guess we'll start off with a little, it's not a game, but the New Year's coming up, and we're going to do our end of year, games of the year, whatever, coming up here in a week or two, maybe at the start of next year. But I wanted to just hit you guys up with some big name games coming out next year, and just kind of gauge which ones you're excited about, which ones you're not. So I'm going to just run through the list, so you don't have to come up with games on the cuff.
Okay.
Sounds good. What is your most anticipated games? So Bobby, help me out and scroll down as I'm reading these off. So Deus Ex, Mankind Divided, the new Hitman, Street Fighter V, Battleborn, Mirror's Edge Catalyst, No Man's Sky, Dishonored 2, Doom, Final Fantasy 15, The Division, Dark Souls 3, Dead Island 2, Mass Effect Andromeda, For Honor, Ghost Recon Wildlands, Battleborn, oh, did I say Battleborn twice? Maybe. Overwatch, Homefront, The Revolution, or XCOM 2. Any of those games are you guys excited about?
Well, XCOM 2's out, and it's...
No, it comes out February.
Oh, really? Oh, people have been playing it then.
They started the pre-order, and they probably gave it out to media.
That's pretty early, though.
Yeah,
oh, that's interesting. But from what I hear, it's really good.
You're getting more hyped for it, basically? Because you guys like the original XCOM.
Yeah, but my feeling with the XCOMs, like, I still haven't even played the... Is it a standalone, Bob, or the second part of that, End of Me Within?
Wait, you're talking about XCOM?
XCOM, and then there's...
I never played the End of Me Within. I never played anything but the base game of XCOM.
Okay, I didn't play End of Me Within either, but you own it, right?
Yeah.
I own it. I own XCOM. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, the thing about XCOM is you know it's good. It's there. I'll get to it. There's no rush. And they put their games on sale right away for some reason. So there's no reason to pay full price for the first XCOM. Within a month or two, they'll be having sales already. If they follow the model they've been doing.
Or if you guys are excited about another game coming up that I didn't list, I pulled this list from a couple websites online and tried to not include anything PS4 or Xbox related.
So the things that pop out to me right away are Dead Island 2, I totally forgot about that until I saw this on the list again. That'll be really fun for us to play together.
Yeah.
But No Man's Sky, obviously, that's going to probably be my next year's Fallout 4. You know,
the one that we'll spend
a lot of money on, a lot of time in. Street Fighter 5, I'm going to play very casually, but I told myself that I'm going to get good at this Street Fighter, put in the time.
So you decided to finally get good at a Street Fighter.
Oh, calm down. And can we go up a little bit?
That's the top.
Okay, go down then, please. And then...
Overwatch, naturally.
Overwatch, yeah. Oh, that's my number one, for sure. So Overwatch, then No Man's Sky, and then probably Street Fighter.
Bobby?
Doom is the number one on that list for me, obviously. I'm hoping I have my new monitor by that time so I can really enjoy it at the height of its glory. But... Also, Dead Island 2. I really liked the first Dead Island, Dead Island Riptide. I don't know if we played that one together. I did play that with some other friends. And
Riptide is that kind of MOBA-esque one? Was that,
no.
Which one was that?
What is that? It was called Dead Island. It had the name in it. But other than that, it didn't have anything to do with the original games.
Yeah. It was like...
Epidemic or something.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
That was it.
But yeah, Riptide, and especially Riptide, I thought was great. A lot of people complained about the bugs on the original Dead Island, but I still liked it. But yeah, that should be a lot of fun. Love co-op games. Not hyped at all for No Man's Sky. Could totally pass on that. Not really a whole lot else. I've been seeing a lot of stuff about Battleborn. That's the one that looks kind of like Borderlands, almost like it's going to be that cooperative.
Isn't that the one where they don't use gunpowder?
I believe that's Battle Cry.
Oh, Battle Cry.
Yeah. With so many games, man.
I know, and they're all
You know what? I'm definitely picking up Deus Ex. Probably Well, I got to go back and play the first one, so maybe I won't pick it up right away.
You see, I love Deus Ex. That's one of my favorite series, and one of my favorite games, actually, Human Revolution. And I love the original Deus Ex, too, but I feel like they're not going to top that. So I don't know. I'm not really that excited for Mankind Divided.
Yeah, but if you just get more of this,
Bob.
If you get more of the same, would you be happy? If it was just a new story with everything else the same?
Well, it's definitely the same story. And it from the trailer that I saw, it looks like it's going in the next logical step in that story of, okay, now they hate, you know, the general population hate these people, and now they're starting to become oppressed if you have enhancements.
Mm.
And I guess he kind of, it looks like he becomes a freedom fighter for that movement, even though he was on the corporate side at first.
Gotcha.
But that's just a guess.
Yeah.
And that's a cool narrative,
yeah,
I think. I'm already in on that.
The dystopic future kind of one.
Now, is Dark Souls 3, that's by Konami, right?
I don't think that's from Software, which is the one that created Dark Souls. I think it's a different developer.
I really wish I knew what the pull here is.
Yeah, I really didn't get Dark Souls 2. That was the only one that I really gave it a shot. But
I never did so much research while playing a game, except for maybe Binding of Isaac, but that's for like 1 second. Hey, you have a question, here's an answer. That one is like, you have to go through these forms, and it's just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's too much.
I'm a little surprised neither one of you mentioned Dishonored 2. I know both of you guys really like Dishonored.
Yeah, it's a really good game. But you guys compared to the we're talking about Titans here.
Yeah.
If anything seems, I mean, a lot of these, I feel like they're going to be more of the same, and Dishonored 2 is right there. I really like Dishonored, even though I'm not too into stealth games, and I hate steampunk. And I was really surprised.
Even though I hate everything about this game.
Yeah, I went into the game thinking, like, I'm not going to like this. This is totally not my type of game, but it really turned me around. And yeah, I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually, the second one you play is the young girl from the first one. Or you play multiple characters, but I think one of them is the young girl. I mean, that could be good. Yeah.
I remember the developer talking about how in the second one they're going to do what they did in the first one is, you know, the world that you actually play isn't that big. It's a kind of linear thing. There's a couple of different ways you can go at things. But they make you feel like you're in this giant city, and they do a great job. You feel like you could go over there. You can't, but you feel like you can. They really knocked it out of the park with that.
Mass Effect Andromeda. I didn't realize Mass Effect was coming out next year, but if it is, that's one of the series that I really love. So I didn't know I was going to be hyped for it, but now that I know.
Well, this has nothing to do with Shepard or the original storyline from the trilogy, right? This
right. is a whole same, new thing.
Same universe, but different story.
Yeah.
But same gameplay mechanics, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
They always fiddle a little bit.
Is it by BioWare?
I'm not sure.
I believe so. But
And I'm assuming this is a PC game, right? This isn't like an Xbox or anything like that, right?
I mean, they're all... Everything comes out at the same time for everything all the time now.
Yeah.
It seems like. And according to Batman and fucking, what was the last one that fucked it up?
Fallout. Didn't Fallout?
No, no, there was something else that didn't play very well on PC.
Yeah.
But, I think it would be
all Black Ops 3.
I'm just not really, because I don't know anything about it. I'm excited for a Mass Effect game, but since I don't really know anything about it, I don't know. Again,
we're seeing a lot of sequels, a lot of franchise games here, and it's really hard for me to get excited about something that I feel like I've already experienced from beginning to end.
You know,
Mass Effect, I've told that story a million times. I played all three of them straight through, and that was like such an incredible experience, but I feel like it's over with. I feel like it's not something I need to bring back up and relive in a... I don't want to say these are going to be a half-assed sequel, but you know, it's so hard to top some of these games.
But it's like Far Cry. Far Cry is just a universe, and you have a different story, and you could enjoy every Far Cry individually.
Extreme of that is Call of Duty, where you just have this game that comes out every single year, not too different from the last, and it gets old, especially as the years go by.
Yeah, for sure.
So basically, Bob wants Doom and everything can go fuck itself. everything
that's
else.
That's what I got.
We've been waiting
too.
For Doom for a while, and you know, id Tech 6, I think, is a new engine they're going to be running this off of, and they're going to. It's not going to be like Doom 3. Doom 3 was that slow-paced horror kind of. This one's going to go back to the roots of the fast-paced shoot 'em up.
How involved is your boyfriend on this project? Like, is he hands-on?
He's hands-on.
Are we talking about John Carmack?
Yeah, Carmack.
He doesn't even work at id Software.
Oh, he doesn't anymore. So zero.
Yeah, he went to work on the Oculus, remember?
Right, yeah.
A couple of years ago. Yeah, I mean, he probably had stuff to do with it at the beginning, and especially the id Tech engine, but... I just hope that the game comes out and runs well, because they've had trouble in the past when Rage came out of texture pop-in. Even Wolfenstein was really difficult to run on my last video card. Not a problem by any means, but I'm used to just turning up all the graphics settings all the way, and I was not able to do that.
Chad, you never finished it, huh?
Which one?
Wolfenstein, the New Order?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
And Bob, did you continue to play The Witcher? That's it for you?
I played it a little bit here and there. I feel like I have to, you know.
The problem with Witcher is it's not Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
Which is...
It's a huge problem.
It's a challenge.
Glaring.
Yeah, it's glaring. Yeah.
Wait, you know what I thought
I think
about?
You should post that up on the forums, that this would be a good game if it was Heroes of the Storm.
But if it weren't an RPG, I think I'd play it more. Looking back, I feel like instead of buying The Witcher 3... I should have bought...
Heroes of the Storm twice.
Just double down. No, I should have bought Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah.
I think I would have enjoyed that game a lot more. It's more my type of game. Hmm. And I'll bring this up later, but there are very few RPG games that I've really got into.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's probably my number one, RPGs.
I love RPGs. Yeah. Well...
Yeah, not my deal.
That's kind of why I like... Mass Effect, because at least Mass Effect 3 was RPG, but kind of RPG light. Like, yeah. You're not doing a whole lot of, like, putting points in and having 80 different slots and trying to level them all up.
It's like I liked a little bit of each one. The first one, I liked the planet exploration, even though everybody makes fun of that.
Yeah.
I liked the little car. Second one, I liked the more RPG. That was like, you had to go through the items and find the stats. And I like that stuff. I like comparing items. This one's a little bit better in this category.
Yeah.
So and then the third one just kind of like said goodbye to both those things. And it was just streamlined the narrative. So I liked, man, that was just such a good thing. If you're listening to this, you haven't played this, go just turn it off. I give you permission. You don't have to listen to the rest of the podcast. Go get Mass Effect. Actually, send me an email. I'll send it to you.
Yeah. So the other one, just to finish out this, the other one I'm also super hyped for is Overwatch, and that's just because it's Blizzard. Even though I suck at first-person shooters, and I will suck at this, and I will get frustrated and probably stop playing it after a couple hours, I'm still super hyped for it.
You know about the payment structure, right?
You get everything for free...
Yeah, but also there's an initial cost. I think it's $30.
I've already pre-ordered it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which I really like how they just charge $40 for that. I think I talked about this a little bit last week, but they charge $40. All the DLC and extra characters are going to be free. And, you know, compare that to with all these other games that they're selling that are multiplayer only, but they're still charging $60 for it. Rainbow Six Siege, Battlefront. It's not. It's just Battlefront, right? It's not Battlefront 2. Yeah, just Star Wars Battlefront.
Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah, and they're throwing the DLC on top of that. I mean, there was some other podcast I was listening to. It might have been PC Gamer, but they were talking about how long do you think the lifespan is going to be on those types of games?
Yeah. Well, I think Siege is already, like, it's a really complex game, and it's got a high level ceiling of it, but I'm not sure if the base level is low enough for a lot of people to get into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, especially when you're queuing up with just random people.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like it'd be really difficult to do.
Yeah.
Polygon had a popular article this week, and maybe we should bring it up. Is, if you have multiplayer only, is $60 too much to charge for multiplayer only, a.k.a., Rainbow Six Siege?
Or
that's
Star Wars
you get,
Battlefront.
Or Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
I see Star Wars, I can see it, because, I mean, like 5 years in production, like they went to the places. That's a lot of money that went into that. That one is different. Siege is just like, it's a beautiful game.
Yeah.
Beautiful, but it only does one thing and does it very well. But $60 is... And now you got... You look over here, you see Overwatch. You know, $40, way more reasonable. 30, maybe even more. And that's without... You know, we always say everything's relative or whatever, but this is like a real thing. I don't think that you should be able to charge... $30 is what Siege should have went for. You know, $60 for just that.
Well, that's why I haven't picked it up.
Yeah.
Like, I liked
Evolve.
It. We played the beta.
It's Evolve came out for $60, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If that came out for $30, they would have done so much better. Yeah.
Same thing with Titanfall, if we want to take it back even further.
Yeah.
I mean, same deal with that. And a game like that relies on lots and lots of people playing it. So you're going to get this initial hike when the game goes on sale and all these people are playing it, and that's going to slowly dwindle over time. How do you keep those people coming back? Well, you got to release new content, possibly new characters, new maps, new things like that. But you charge for that, or do you give it away free? I don't know. It's a tough call, because I feel like these multiplayer modes are not any different than the multiplayer modes we've gotten with games like Battlefield and Call of Duty, where they've had a single player mode and then the multiplayer on top of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there should be a little bit more attention, or there should be something a little bit extra to these if you're going to charge $60. I don't know what exactly that is, but I don't know. I can understand where people are coming from.
There was a game that came out recently that was a $60 game, and the season pass was $40. It's basically $100 for that game.
I think it was Battlefront.
Was that Battlefront?
Battlefront.
Yeah, Battlefront. That is ridiculous. DLC is crazy.
Like, pure ridiculousness.
Yeah. And hopefully, somewhere in there, there's more depth, because that's what everybody's lacking, is the depth. But again, I get it. Like, they're trying to appeal to my friend Jeremy that hasn't played games in years, but, you know, it's aesthetically beautiful.
Yeah.
You can't give them a super complex game. So, I can't really hold them that against them. But the other thing I was going to say is you add value to your game if you have a lot of players, like Bobby said. So, if the barrier to entry is lower, you're going to initially have... But it's tough, man. And you got to make everybody happy. You got to bring in all the money so that your investors are happy.
When you make a game so accessible, I feel like there's not as much retention. People will start playing it for a little while, maybe get about 15, 20 hours into it, and move on to something else.
That you're saying if it's free to play, or what are you saying?
No, I'm just saying if we're talking about depth here, a game that's just not very deep. If you have a game with a very high skill ceiling, then people will continue to play that game for the challenge to get better at it. And that's what you see in multiplayer games, is MOBAs especially, is people want to keep, they could always get better. So they keep practicing and they keep playing. And with a game like Battlefront, there's really not a whole lot to that game mechanically. So I feel like people are going to spend like 15, 20 hours in their tops. I can't imagine people spending a whole lot of time in Battlefront.
Well, the co-op wave.
There are people playing a ton. There are people playing a ton.
I still want it. As soon as it goes on sale, I think I'll pick it up.
So to follow up on this, I am putting you on the spot for this one a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
I want you guys, like I said, we're going to do Best Game of the Year coming up here in a couple weeks. But right now, I want you to say the most disappointing game of the year. So I put a couple. I looked on some lists online, and these were some of the ones that were put online lists of most disappointing game of the year. So these are on people's lists. So some of these sound silly to me, but some people have put this. So Star Wars Battlefront, Battlefield Hardline, Evolve, Arkham Knight, Pro Skater 5, Fallout 4 people listed, Mad Max people listed, and Tales from Borderlands. Right now, what do you guys say? What is your most disappointing game this year?
Well, I got to throw up some. Like, Tales of the Borderlands is known as a really good game. It was probably one of my favorites, if not my favorite Telltale game. So
I was surprised by some of these, for sure.
Mad Max was one of my favorite games of the year.
I had a blast playing that game, too.
Yeah.
And then Fallout, I might put that as one of my games of the year.
Yeah.
I think Arkham Knight is really the technical issues that people are upset about. And that alone, might make it the biggest disappointment of the year. But I would have to say, I mean, games like Battlefield Hardline and maybe to a lesser extent Mad Max, I mean, those were just kind of white noise to me. They weren't like horrible. They they weren't even bad. I mean, they were just, but they, I wouldn't even consider them great or good. Yeah, they, no one's going to even remember these games in a year. But for me, I think the biggest disappointment is Evolve. That kind of set the tone for all these games that we were just talking about, these multiplayer only games, like these games that had such hype behind them, and we saw it at all these conventions and everyone was playing it and talking about all this great stuff. And then we played the beta and like immediately we knew, like right then and there, once we sat down and spent 20 minutes in this game, we were just like, huh, this just doesn't feel very fun, you know?
So I'm going to go definitely with Evolve for all of the, everything Bob just cited, but also because it made me look like such an ass. I mean, I was building this thing up so much, man. Choo choo, fucking hype train.
I think we gave a free copy of this away.
Yeah, yeah. We did.
Like, and now you can buy it for like $15.
Yeah, so that's a tough one. And then Arkham Knight, just only because Arkham City was such a fucking great game. It really was. They brought everything together of how to make a 3D environment and how to tell a narrative with side quests. It was super well done. You know, really, if I think about it, it's probably one of my top 5 or 10 games for sure.
Arkham City?
Arkham City, yeah. Huh. I think it was just super well done. And, yeah, I guess that's all I got to say. What about you, Bob? All right, Chad?
I would agree with you guys, Evolve, just because it was so hyped up and everybody was looking forward to it, and it just fell directly on its face. Like, not even, there wasn't redeeming things. I didn't hear one person talk about how, I didn't even know of a group that could have considered it a good game. Like, it came out and people just tossed
and
it.
And I don't even know how much to blame the actual game itself, but also the marketing on this, I felt was a nightmare. I mean, they were charging... They were charging so much for all this DLC. They were charging a lot for the game, and they were giving you a free copy of Left 4 Dead 1. Like, what the fuck is with that? You know, just so many things that were done wrong with this game outside of the development.
The honorable mention for me is Star Wars Battlefront, because I love Star Wars, but you got to give me more than what you gave me.
How much? Oh, you played on the console.
Yeah. Like, and okay.
Oh, I looked like an ass on this one too.
Yeah.
I was saying there was the new bar had been set. Well, graphically.
Graphically, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but here's the thing with me with Battlefront is, you know, I wanted it like Modern Warfare, where you get a kill streak and you get to choose from cool things in the Star Wars world, and at one of the lower levels you could become Darth Vader or whatever.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. They've got pickups on the ground and you run and get a pickup and then you like it. Just they could have added so much more interesting gameplay.
Well, what ends up happening with that is the you know, if you suck, you never get to be Darth Vader, and that's, you know,
yeah, that's what it should be. If you suck, you never get to be. I mean, that was like in
Chad, you would never get to be Darth Vader.
That's fine, but maybe I would play your game and work on it, work on my craft, and then eventually I get to play as Darth Vader. You know, like I feel like I don't know.
What sucks too is skill begets skill, you know?
Yeah.
Because like the good players get Darth Vader more, and then they get good at Darth Vader, right? The first time I was Darth Vader, I was like, what the fuck? Oh, I did. Yeah. You know?
Well, you got to play the single player parts. You can play as Darth Vader in kind of like practice mode.
Oh, okay.
So you can practice with them.
They didn't have that one.
But like Modern Warfare 4, you could see all the combo or the streak, all these sorts of things like people were getting, and you're like, wow, I want to get better because I want to be able to do that and use that. And they didn't have that here. It just felt really, really flat.
I don't know if you knew, but the developer of, you know, the lead developer said that, it does lack depth. Like he admitted.
Yeah.
But, you know... Again and again.
So it was pretty obvious that wasn't what they were going for.
Yeah.
You think one of these DLCs will add depth, a level?
I think they need to rework some things. Kind of like reboot it and relaunch it is what I think they should do.
Whoa, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like someone said this. I can't remember where I heard it, but they're like, you know, Battlefront 2 is going to be great. When they were asked, how do you like Battlefront? They said, well, Battlefront 2 is going to be great.
It's not like this was an epic failure, guys. It's a good game. It just it's a good game for 10 to 15 hours, probably.
Yeah.
Once you see all the content. But man, fucking being Luke Skywalker and taking out an AT-AT by fucking force jumping up there and taking its head off, like, that was dope, dude.
Yeah.
That, like, this game lets you do shit like that.
This game's cool in the fact that you get to see cool YouTube videos. You know?
Yeah.
They're kind of like Besiege.
Exactly. Moving on?
Yeah, you want to bring up the website? Didn't we want to bring that up earlier this time around?
Oh, yeah. We'll get the plugs in at the beginning
here. Yeah.
Check out dlgaming.net. That's our website. You can get to our Twitter account, Steam group, all that stuff there. If you want to ask us questions or play games with us, the Steam group is where to do it at.
And the Steam group is DL.
DL Gaming.
Mm-hmm. DL Gaming. Yep. Yeah, dlgaming.net.
You get to all anything business related or any personal questions that you'll want out there, just send it to Emilio at dlgaming.net. And I handle all the public relations and stuff.
Yep.
And thanks for listening. Tell a friend for sure. We're trying to spread this thing as fast as possible.
Cool. Let's get into the big story. This was actually requested by a listener.
We had already played it, which is super rare.
Yeah. who was asking us to play it?
Lab Monkey.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Lab Monkey requested that we play Helldivers. Luckily for him, we had already purchased it and played it. So, what'd you guys think?
I really like this game. Yeah. I really like this game. So it's a twin stick shooter, but that makes it sound simple because most of them are.
4-person co-op.
This is the most complicated twin stick shooter possible. So you have a squad of four guys. It's very, okay. So think Starship Troopers, 4-player co-op, top down, twin stick shooter. There's friendly fire and.
Yeah, intense friendly fire. Like, the mech will step on you and you do damage.
This game is designed for you to kill each other.
It's designed for
easily you, kill each other.
Easily kill each other.
Yeah.
You have to talk. You have to communicate.
You have to communicate a lot. Can you play it online?
I think, yeah, you can.
Yeah. But way better to play in a room. Yeah. Because, sure. You know, we're talking in real time. Even when you, so you have your standard fare where you're worried about ammo. You're worried about which way you're shooting. But also, you're calling in these special, what are they called?
Stratagems.
And the way you call down a stratagem is kind of like casting a spell in Magicka. You hold down one button, and then you do the command code for the stratagem. This stratagem shoots down from space and can kill enemies.
It's a drop pod.
Yeah,
it comes down, and whatever's in there will die.
Yeah.
Enemies, friendlies, everything. Yeah.
So, you got, I've been... Anytime I call something down, I let everybody know. Everything in this game can kill you.
Yeah.
Everything, including yourself.
Turrets, you call down turrets and they're automated, but the turret will turn around and shoot through you to kill the enemy behind you.
Right.
So, yeah.
My favorite thing about this is the stress levels. You're trying to do something somewhat complex.
It's an objective-based game, right?
Yeah. You're trying to get these things done, but all kinds of chaos is happening. But you can, so if you needed a specific stratagem, let's say everybody died except for you, you're getting attacked from all sides, but you also need to cast the stratagem for resupply to get your guys back up. So the stress level goes, you need to do something. It's kind of like Fear Factor when the people needed to go down and like, put a key in a hole while they're underwater to save their friend.
Yeah.
It's a simple task, but under stress, it becomes far more difficult.
Kind of like keep talking and no one explodes.
Yeah, exactly. That's the highest selling point here. There's a campy nature, you know. We keep saying that it's like Starship Troopers, but I don't. After the initial thing, I don't really see it anymore.
The game. It's kind of serious.
It's kind of serious, yeah.
Like, you're fighting bugs or whatever, but, like, they're not screaming stupid things out.
It's all practical. And there's different parts of the universe. The first one, we fought robots.
Yeah,
and now we're fighting, like, bugs.
Yeah, it's, like, there's the map, and it's split into three different sections. One's like a bug, one's like cyborgs, and one's like kind of aliens. So you can, depending on which area you're assaulting.
They're all aliens, Chad.
Robots aren't aliens.
Oh. Bob, what did you think? You played it briefly with us.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the moment-to-moment gameplay, but didn't really play it long enough to get a feel for the progression. I'm assuming there's unlocks that go along with completing missions. And
you rank yourself up, but it doesn't have like a campaign mode, really. It does, but it's a player environment campaign mode, or what do you call it? Basically, you're killing... You're helping out worlds, and it's building up a score, and eventually you get to take the home planet of one of these three different ones, and then it resets. So it's kind of like...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So all the players drive it. That's why every time you jump in there, the map's a little different, because all these things have happened. And it has like a running log to tell you what's happened in the world since you've last played.
So it's pretty complex, but my girlfriend was able to pick it up pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say it's like complicated or complex. It's more just you have to be a lot more methodical. Most twin stick shooters are just shoot as fast as you can at the bad guys. I mean, I can't
more think on of that a, later.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely
I can't more think on that of later. A twin stick shooter that doesn't really follow that pattern. But in this game, with all the friendly fire and all the environmental hazards, you just really have to go at a different pace. You got to be more tactical.
The other thing is, so the enemies keep spawning, but they, a lot of times they'll have kind of like seeker.
Like a probe.
A probe, yeah.
A scout.
And then, so if you kill that scout fast enough, he won't summon the other guys. So as you're moving through in the high level game, as you're moving through, you need to be killing these scouts really quickly or else they'll summon the guys. And if they summon the guys, then it takes a while to kill them all. And like Bobby said, you're ammo constrained. Which is cool. I really like the ammo system that they have here. They have clips, and you actually use clips. If you reload when you're halfway done with your clip, that clip is done. Like, so you've got 6 clips or whatever.
You're wasting tons of ammo.
Yeah. So you really want to use all your ammo, but then you run out, and the reload is not a quick process. You're not just quickly reloading. So it's kind of a game within the game where do I want to reload now because there's no enemies, or do I try to save these last 10 bullets and hopefully be able to reload later on, maybe in the middle of a fight.
There's a lot of things to be thinking about. Yeah. It's a think-then-shoot game, but also you're thinking about positioning, you're thinking about your teammates, you're thinking about what you need for this situation. I'm sure later on, like, you have to run the UAV to find the scouts so you can kill the scouts right away. Because I think if you probably get a bum rush, you're probably done later on in the game. Yeah. Or at least you use a lot of resources.
We got up to medium difficulty and got our ass just...
Well, we passed it eventually, right?
No, we never did the medium difficulty.
But we were playing with...
So the objectives are kind of randomized. So maybe you have to activate a SAM missile, or maybe you have to run a black box back to a bunker. Which one was your favorite? Or you have to find the unexploded...
Yeah, that's the best one, because one of your guys is completely... You know, he's going, it's like a beachcomber. He's going around looking for fucking coins, and you're all fighting to the death while he's got this thing on. Like,
he's searching for gold on the beach.
Yeah, yeah. Listening to fucking his Beats headphones or whatever. What was funny, though, is like, you know, my girl, she's new to a lot of gaming. She's
really good, though.
Yeah, yeah, she's really good. And she picks things up really quick, but she doesn't know the terminology. So, like, mech. That was escaping her for at least 45 minutes, what a mech was. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm like saying, like, get away from the mech. He'll step on you.
And she's like, what is that? And we're like, you got to do your stratagem. And you're like, she's like, I don't know. How many times? It doesn't matter. Anyway, so we had to go do the SAMs. Her name is Sam. So Chad's like, we got to go do the SAMs. And she's like, my what? What are we supposed to do? What of mine are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, but...
Oh, SAMs is surface-to-air missiles, by the way.
So we all three recommend it?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Only $19.99, too. That's a pretty good price tag.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, they have bundle.
The deluxe edition, which it has all the DLC for $40. So you can either get $20 or get all the DLC for $40, and then you can get the individual DLC packages for a couple bucks each. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool game, man. And this is the first game that Sony put on Steam, basically. It's a first party from Sony.
Well, Arrowhead is the same group that did Magicka. So,
oh, okay.
So, well, but this is being published by PlayStation. So
that's so funny. Like, yeah, obviously that they kept the stratagem thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You want to feed that right into Cactus?
Yeah, so Cactus is another twin-stick shooter, and it's another four-player co-op. But it took the more traditional route. This is a lot more like Smash TV or...
what is it called now? Assault Cactus? Assault Android Cactus.
Yeah.
And do we know what the Cactus is referring to?
Yeah, the main character's name is Cactus.
I was going to say, I think there's a character named Cactus.
Well, yeah. They're all like color. They're all
flowers.
They're all... are they flowers?
I think so. Well, one's Aubergine, which is an eggplant. Whatever, it doesn't matter. They're all...
Holly. Maybe they're all...
Yeah, they're all like plants. Some sort of plant. So, also, it's funny that you can have two games in the same genre be so different.
So different.
And be both be fun.
Yeah.
What I said while we were playing this, you know, they do a great job of keeping the action going. So much shit is going on. But I said it's a visual and an audio feast for the eyes.
It really
is. It's really coming at you.
Geometry Wars, I don't know if you ever saw those.
I never played it, but I wanted to.
It's kind of like bright, in-your-face action.
Colors, music, action, nonstop. Just go, 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 go. And also, not the same stress, but also that there's a stress factor there where you have to keep your guys supplied with this this battery. And, you kind of have to, like, fueling a car, if you run out of the battery, the game's over. So, whenever any of the fuel drops, we were yelling at each other to go pick this stuff up.
Yeah.
It, like, you really felt. Besides that, that's the only thing you're really worried about. And
because if you get hit, you kind of fall over and then you tap
just get
your
back
attack
up and you're fine.
And it picks you back up. But you might lose your battery if you have to pick yourself up. It might cost you extra battery.
A few times I felt overwhelmed in this game. I was like, I lost my character many times.
Yeah.
It
is kind of hard to see your character because your character has like a little ring around him, but it's not super obvious.
Same thing with...
And there's so much color and stuff going on that it is kind of easy to lose your character.
Same thing with Helldivers. I don't think the colors of your ring were bright enough.
Yeah, definitely.
It was really difficult to tell who you were in Helldivers, I noticed. The colors don't stand out too much.
What did you think of this game?
Of Assault Android Cactus?
Yeah.
It's quite a name.
Yeah, it is.
I liked it. Twin stick shooters are difficult for me because a lot of times those are played on a controller, but I still think I'm better on a keyboard and mouse. I really liked Full Mojo Rampage, which I think we all played about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'd still like to get back into that, too. I played it a little bit longer than you guys.
Yeah, you were playing that.
After a while,
problem with Full Mojo Rampage?
We can just leave it there.
But that game, I was definitely better at with the keyboard and mouse. A game like Helldivers, there's so many different things you're doing other than moving your character and shooting. You have the stratagems, which you have to input codes. You've got buttons for grenades and... a key to dive and a key to help
switch
people
weapons.
Up and activate. And switch weapons. I don't know how well that would work on a keyboard and mouse. This, though, the Cactus game, I mean, that's your...
The Cactus game.
The Cactus game. It's your standard twin-stick shooter, so yeah, I think I'd be better with a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah,
but
it only takes the two triggers on a... Because it's shoot on one trigger and switch to your, like, super on the other trigger, so...
It is chaotic, though. We played this game four-player co-op, and I think that's the ideal way to play these types of games.
For sure.
I was having fun single-player.
Oh, you were?
Not as much, but yeah, it's fun.
So I'm wondering how much of this chaos was attributed to just there being four players and everybody moving around.
That was new to me.
Does it feel
that
like...
That amount of fucking, like, whoa. Several times, each of us were, like, commenting on how just... The pure amount of shit that was on the screen.
Yeah.
And no slowdown either.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Did it seem like there was more enemies when we were playing four player than...
Way more.
Oh, okay.
Way, way more.
So they do ramp it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with games like this, they go so fast, it's hard for me to really analyze what does what and discover the cause and effect of everything. Like, I was not really sure I saw a lot of things flying towards me. I wasn't sure what was bullets and what was like, when you kill an enemy, I guess like their essence gets, you suck that in. So there's like these little white shards that come towards you, something like that. And I wasn't really even sure as to how many shots can I take before like my character actually falls over and die. Like, you know, just real basic mechanical things. I have a tough time figuring out with these games when they just go so fast and so bright and colorful and confusing.
Yeah, it's not 100%. Confusing for me because like after the podcast, Chad's going to suck in my essence.
Yep. That sounded no homo on that one.
That was a stretch.
Wow.
Anyway, okay. Another recommendation.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
How much is this game? Let's see.
It was $14.99.
Very good reviews on Steam.
Both of these are overwhelmingly positive on Steam.
$10 for the soundtrack.
But most people wait for the DL from us.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So there's like three people and they all liked it. So when we say yes, it'll go up to 1,400.
The floodgates are open.
So when you look at this and you see the 1,400 people overwhelmingly positive, it's because people have already
heard. A direct result.
Yeah, yeah. All right, what else are we talking about? Oh, did you play some Killing Floor, by the way? Killing Floor was free this weekend.
Yeah, free this weekend, on sale for $20. It never seems to go cheaper than $20. I did not get a chance to play it.
Killing Floor 2, right?
Killing Floor 2, yes. And I've been really wanting to get back into this game because I played this a lot when it first came out back in April, but they have released two new classes and got
free?
Two, three.
Are those free?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all three. I think the game's still in beta. Let me double check on that.
Is it still not technically out yet?
Yeah, it's not a full release yet.
So in when we're talking about games of the year, are you going to include this if it's still considered in beta?
Yeah, maybe on a technicality, sure. Because, I mean, it might as well be out. It is very close. Let me see here. We're on our Steam page. Yeah, still an early access game.
When is it scheduled to come out?
I don't know if they have a specific date.
Scroll up a little bit. What's that?
Release date, yeah, April 21st, 2015.
That's when
the beta came out.
That's when the beta
But this is a game that's pretty much fully developed. No real bugs. They've announced that they are not going to reset the levels. So all that time I put into leveling up the medic and these other characters, they aren't going to reset any of that.
We had some listeners that wanted to play, so you didn't get a chance to play with them?
No, not yet. I did play with a listener this weekend, but that was another game.
Oh, the original.
Let me guess. Can I guess what game it was?
The original Killing Floor had, it was, I remember because it was so long ago, but it had more DLC. It was one of these things that had so much DLC.
Yeah.
Like,
a lot of cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, dozens of stuff. So I think they're probably going to do the same thing with this game. It's just going to go on and on and on.
Yeah, but right now they're adding like real content, not just cosmetic. They're adding games, they're adding guns. I was surprised at how little guns were in Killing Floor 2 when it first came out, but they've added quite a bit since then. This latest pack, The Return of the Patriarch. The Patriarch was the big head boss in the original Killing Floor, and he was absent in Killing Floor 2, and a lot of people were wondering what the deal was with that. The only boss that they had in Killing Floor 2 was that evil German scientist guy.
Right.
And I don't know if the Patriarch is similar to him. Like, this could be, like, when you fight the final boss, like, it could be a straight 5-10-minute-long battle.
So it's kind of like a raid boss?
Yeah, exactly. It takes quite a bit. And it's a lot of moving, attacking, taking cover, being very strategic about it. It's not just like, let's all rush him and do a bunch of damage.
But he looks a lot like Nemesis from...
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks very Resident different Evil? From the original Killing Floor Patriarch.
Resident Evil, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I have to get back. This was the game that I started playing Heroes of the Storm back in February this year, and then this game came out in April, and this was the game that got me off Heroes of the Storm for a couple months.
Have you played Vermintide since the DLC came out, the free DLC?
I played one or two games of it, but really not a whole lot.
Was it noticeable?
For me, no, not really, but I don't think I played enough of it.
Right.
Like the whole new crafting system, I didn't have any chance to play with that.
Right. There's a bunch of stuff. I definitely want to check that out again.
Yeah.
There's just no time. See, what we need here, folks, is so many more listeners so that we could all just play video games all day, and then we'll talk about everything.
Yeah.
So, help us help you.
All right, what else did we play this week? Oh, Blue Estate. You want to talk Blue Estate?
Yeah, for sure. You go ahead.
Okay. So Blue Estate actually came out a while ago. It is an on-rail shooter. I wouldn't
explain on-rails.
Oh, if you on-rails means the camera's fixed, but the camera's moving, but you can't move it. So you're moving your mouse, which moves the cursor on the screen, but it won't move where the camera's facing.
Think of if you were playing with a light gun, like Duck Hunt or something like that.
Virtual Cop,
where you're moving around. This game is I really like this game. The graphics are sweet. It's got kind of like this. What did you call it? LA.
Yeah, I called it hand drawn. LA street aisle. LA street art basically is what it is.
It's kind of got like a graffiti style.
Very LA. Very very graffiti. Yeah, exactly. And I put noir in here, but just because of the whole the beginning.
Yeah, like so.
Like a spoof on a noir.
The femme fatale is talking to a private eye, and so the private eye is telling the story, and so the private eye is telling the story, but it's not about the private eye; it's about a different person. So this other person's doing the stuff that you're playing, and the private eye is narrating. But it's like I wouldn't say campy, but it kind of pokes fun at itself.
I think it's very campy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Would you call this campy though?
I think so. It's poking fun at a bunch of different little things. It got a 59 on, so I think it's much better. Maybe it's a lot better than its initial release.
Yeah, I don't know. Very positive, according to Steam. Mm-hmm. It was on sale this week, which is why we both bought it.
Yeah, it was like $4. Totally worth that.
Oh, yeah.
I can see how it could get repetitive. The boss fight was the epitome of repetitiveness. Did you get to the boss guy?
It was like the same three
over and over,
over and over, over, yeah, over, yeah, until you killed him.
Yeah. He was funny, though. Like, yeah. The first minute, I was laughing.
It was kind of challenging. I almost ran out of lives on that one.
I died. I couldn't finish it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, but I took aim assist off, so I don't know if that...
I just did standard setup.
Oh, okay.
I usually do that because I'm trying to get... If I was like...
This is great for getting better at aiming.
For sure. If we didn't have a podcast, I'd probably turn all that off, set up the difficulty, and take my time going through this. But since I wanted to talk about
bullshit,
okay, fuck you. But since we wanted to talk about it this week, I wanted to make sure I could get through a good portion of it.
The sun was in my eyes. Another DL fucking recommended, man.
Bobby,
$4 though. Don't pay more than that.
Oh yeah, this looks very interesting. This came out back in April.
Yeah, it's been out for a while. It's been on my wish list. So the Cactus game was on my wish list. This game was on my wish list. So we're actually getting through some of my wish list games. Kind of happy about that.
Yeah, for
Blue
sure.
Blue Estate.
Definitely better than... I mean, yeah, even based on that first and second level, I'd give it better than a 59.
Oh, for
just
sure.
Based on that, yeah.
For sure.
75 at least. 80.
Really? I would like to try it with a light gun, but we don't do it.
That doesn't
Did
even,
you do a mouse or
is
keyboard?
Is that even a thing anymore?
Oh, yeah, they said right here on the Steam page that it is compatible with a light gun.
But are there light guns?
Yeah, they showed a picture of someone with a light gun.
There are. It's just there's not a whole lot of games. But, all those like hunting games, they're really popular.
We're going to need them for VR, I think.
Oh,
right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Where are those hunting games?
Cabela?
Yeah, Cabela.
Those are really popular games.
Deer Master 5000.
Yeah.
I'll see that in the bars.
Yeah.
So this game is $12.99 Blue Estate, but on sale right now, 66% off, $4.41. That's a pretty good deal.
Highly recommend. It's fun, funny. I was cracking up sometimes.
Yeah.
Sexualized, so you can see some TNA on that.
I'm a sucker for two things. Titties and production value. And this has both in spades, actually.
I was really impressed with the stripper.
Yeah, she's hot.
No, like...
Oh.
Her, like, dancing?
Yeah.
They modeled that really well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was sexy, even though it was supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, the whole... Yeah, they did... I mean, it sounds like we're building up too much. It's just is a very simple game, but they did it well.
They did.
Yeah.
I was curious to see if you were going to do the gamepad, because I wanted to see if it was worthwhile.
Gamepad?
Like the controller.
Oh,
you can play
no,
on the
fuck
controller.
That. But I will never, if given the option, I will never aim on a.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the same way.
Yeah. Cool.
Anything else going on this week?
Final Fantasy VI? Who's that?
Yeah, that was me. I just wanted to mention that. That's coming to Steam December 16th. Final Fantasy VI. A lot of people will know that as a Super Nintendo game. Final Fantasy III. The one, well, probably not the one, but the first RPG I ever got into. And I mentioned earlier how I don't really care for RPGs, but I was fanatical about this one. I actually played a good portion of this game on an emulator about a year ago. I'll be picking it up, but a lot of people are complaining about the graphics. I guess they're using, you know, it's a Super Nintendo game. So a lot of times, especially on emulators, they'll run through filters to make it look a little bit better. And the filter that they chose for this one, a lot of people are having problems with. Although, I really don't mind it so much.
Did you play this one, Chad?
Mm-mm. Is 3 the one where you got the airship halfway through or whatever?
You have the Mogs, those little white fluffy things, mm-hmm. and you have...
That's every Final Fantasy, though. Oh, these things are all...
Yeah, Chocobo.
Airships, these are all...
Yeah, but that's the one where, like, you're in the airship, and then you kind of see the world below you, and you're actually flying.
Yeah, every Final Fantasy ever.
See, I don't know any of the other Final Fantasies, and a lot of people recommend 7 to me, but I don't have any nostalgia for that, so I can't really...
You gotta play 7.
I haven't played 7 either, and I
when
really
the remaster comes out, I've seen some graphics of it.
Well, they
it
have it
fantastic.
On Steam, but I don't know if that's the best version of it. It seems
well,
like
they're
never
doing a remaster.
So you can see what this
shot
game...
Shot for shot. Like, and has that ever been done before?
I'm not sure.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, see, there's the airship Chad was talking about.
Yeah,
on the
yeah,
Steam
yeah. Okay, yeah, that is the game.
Have you guys played the classics? So you haven't played Final Fantasy VII, which is probably not the best JRPG ever. But Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, I played Chrono Trigger.
I'm not sure if I have. Which
okay,
one? Was
Chrono Trigger was the one that rivals.
It's supposedly the best Super Nintendo game.
So here's the deal with Final Fantasy VII.
I'd agree with that.
Here's the deal with Final Fantasy VII. Somebody dies in that, and it's a big deal.
Yeah,
but I always hear it, and then yeah. I say, I'm not going to play until I forget who... So right now, I don't know who dies.
Yeah.
So now would be a perfect time for me to play Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. I don't know when this new one's coming out, but...
But every time I hear it, I'm like, fuck, now I can't play Final Fantasy VII for a year, because I got to forget
And you'll
this.
Probably see it in a meme or something.
Probably.
Final Fantasy VII is the one with the blonde kid with that huge ass sword, and then the
Cloud, right?
Yeah, Cloud.
Yeah,
and then the one like big black dude with a machine gun hand.
I forget his name. Very quickly for you, Binding of Isaac players. I killed Hush, which fuck man, the most bullet hell thing I've ever played. He was so fucking hard. But first time I killed him, but it didn't end. And I had to go kill Isaac after that. And I'm pretty good at killing Isaac. He's really hard. But everything was gone. All my hearts were gone by the time I killed Hush. I barely beat Hush. And so I think because I didn't kill the next guy, my Hush kill didn't count. So I didn't unlock anything. Does it make any sense?
Yeah. You didn't beat the game.
I didn't beat the game, so it didn't register. Yeah. So fuck, man. That was tough. I wasn't even trying to kill Hush. It just popped up. It's a... If you kill mom by a certain time, or if you beat the normal game in a certain time frame, it unlocks Hush. Dude, that fight was crazy. It went
on. So you basically got to just run through the game.
You got to run through the game. Two things are unlocked that way. Anyway, just real quick thing. He's very hard, but he's not impossible. You can actually get hearts while you're fighting him. So that's where there's a little bit of leeway.
I think I have Rebirth and I have yet to play it. I don't know. I think because Emilio plays it so much, I feel like I don't need to. You know, it's like I almost feel like I vicariously play that game through him.
Well, Emilio drinks for you, so he drinks for the both of you guys. So then it works out that way.
Yeah. That works.
So I thought it would be. I'm into esports, and so I want to just bring up. I found a good site that I use to do a lot of my esports watching. So I just wanted to bring it up. I think I brought it up before, but I just want to talk a little bit about
it. Not by name, for sure.
It's called gosugamers.net. This is the site that I use. And I'm hoping esports corner we can do kind of on a weekly thing. Maybe I can talk about a little bit about what's going on. Maybe I can expand a little bit on my esports stuff. So
did you just make a new segment?
I did.
Without talking to us?
Yeah.
Cool.
Esports
corner. I like
it. But what's cool here is, so it's got the events, You can see what's live currently, and you can click on it and go to the Twitch streams of stuff that's going on live. It's got nice little icons that'll tell you what game it is that it is that you're going to click on. So if I'm only interested in watching Dota 2, I can just go to Dota 2 stuff.
The other thing, is it spoiler free? I know that's pretty important.
Sometimes it,
like on the front page or whatever.
Yeah, you do have to kind of watch that, because if you go into events, it'll bring up like the bracket or whatever.
It should have a spoiler free mode.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Have you guys heard of these plugins that Google has now for Chrome? Like, no, there's a plugin for no Star Wars spoilers. Really? Anything Star Wars related will automatically not be shown. The famous one is Trump. Anything that has to do with Trump just doesn't come up.
Yeah, didn't somebody do an app to get rid of the Kardashians?
Yeah. I think that's what spawned this.
But what else is cool is it's got rankings, so you can take a look at rankings. I use this when I watch like Dota or whatever, so I can see, oh, I haven't heard of this team, where are they at? And you can take a look at, and they also have a list of players, so you can see how the players are actually ranked there. And they do have a list of VODs, which is video on demand, but the VODs are, a lot of these times these esports are in the other side of the world, and so we can't watch them live. So the VODs are usually up within a day that you can watch. Good quality? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Cool.
For sure. 1080p. Nice. Almost always.
I think I mentioned this already, but I'm still kind of flabbergasted by the whole thing. It's on fucking DraftKings. You can see LoL tournaments every day, day on DraftKings. Chad, you don't follow LoL that much.
I do.
So, do you have any interest in fucking around with it?
I was actually, I might do this next week. I might do some betting and talk a little bit about it next week's esports corner.
Yeah. And if you don't follow me already on Twitter, it's DL Gaming DOTnet. That's spelled out. There's no dot. You spell out the dot. DL Gaming DOTnet. A couple days ago, I put the link for my DraftKings referral code. So if you get that, that gives you $25 to just fuck around with. So you can just bet on this and just see how it goes. Even though if you don't follow LoL, who cares? It's free $25. Just do it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
That website, again, was gosugamers.net. We're not getting paid by them or anything. This is just the one that I found as the best so far.
Yeah, I think we used this during the Dota 2,
yep.
The international, yeah, to look at a lot of ranks. And yeah, they've got quite a bit of information here. I'm seeing all sorts of articles.
Yeah, they do a lot of articles and stuff. Keeps up to date, like what teams are leaving and what teams are going back.
Yeah.
Good for them, man, getting out in front of
it. So scroll up to the top of that page. So there's the main ones that they do. So they do Hearthstone, CSGO, Dota 2, Heroes of the Storm, League of Legends. And now they've got Overwatch. So,
although they just shut down their beta for winter.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. So I don't know when. I think it's February it's going to come back.
Cool.
Yeah.
There you go for the esports.
What's
corner.
That legacy? Legacy of the Void.
I'm not. That might be older games, or it might be Legacy of the Void.
Yeah.
It probably is Legacy of the Void.
They would put Legacy of the Void. Yeah. Oh, Legacy games.
Legacy games.
Yeah.
Oh, good old Frozen Throne on there. What do you know? Yeah. People still playing that.
Probably.
I was telling Fly in Hawaiian this. I've been wanting to get. I was asking if he had the game because I really want to play Frozen Throne co-op, like versus. I mean, I don't know if other people are still playing, but even versus the computer is pretty difficult if you ramp the difficulty all the way up. But I've been really wanting to get back into that game.
Cool.
Moving on.
Yep.
No hardware corner this week. We'll hit it up next. Or what is it?
Next
Bobby
week.
Gets hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually installed this so I will be playing this. MechWarrior Online has come to Steam, and they've been working on this for nonstop. People have recommended it to me that it's not even close to the game that we played back then, which wasn't a bad game back then.
We played it like a year ago.
I kind of like how technical it was and how it was like, you feel like you're working on your hot rod in the garage and stuff and doing this and that. But anyway, there's one of the biggest improvements or maybe features is a persistent battle. There's an online battle always going on, and there's three factions. You join one of the factions and you take points and try to win the entire game, and then it gets reset or whatever. Mm. But,
that's cool.
You know, so kind of like Planetside maybe a little bit. So I thought that was cool. Will you guys give this a second chance, you think?
I've already installed it, but...
Oh, wow.
The reviews... a lot of people are complaining that it's basically pay to win.
Oh, okay.
And that bothers me, but it is a free to play. Right. So, free to play, but pay to win.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cosmetic doesn't really work in this game. Cosmetic.
Yeah, because you're not really seeing your character.
Yeah.
But I guess...
Well, other people see you, right?
Yeah, other people see you. I'll try this out. What I'm hoping is that the matchmaking works good enough that I'm not jumping in with guys that have like level 47 gold mechs that just rape my ass.
What I was really hoping for is that maybe we can do something that would work really well together. Like maybe, you know, remember like last time you went with like a
long range
missile, and then maybe I'd be set up to defend you or something. I don't know. Well, work something out.
Last time I had a long range one, but I could never find anybody because there was nobody out there to scout them out.
Oh,
so if we play, maybe we'll do that.
Oh, okay.
You could scout and then I could come in with the artillery.
More on that next week. No, we talked about this, Bob. Or what do you got? Steam?
Yeah, we talked about a few weeks ago how Steam was going to make a change to their policy regarding trades. Basically, what happens is if you trade somebody, and I think it's if the trade is lopsided in any way. They say if one person is receiving items and one person is not receiving any, then it's going to be held for 3 days in kind of an escrow type situation. But it has done this on every single trade I've tried to make since this. So I don't know what exactly triggers this, but pretty much any trade that I make now, Steam holds it for 3 days, unless I use a mobile authenticator, which has to be active for a week. I've recently activated my mobile authenticator. Hasn't been a week, and damn, that thing is annoying.
Oh, every time you log in? Is it?
Every time I log into Steam, I have to pull out my cell phone, type in the code that pops up on my Steam app. So anytime I log into Steam on a website, anytime I log into the Steam app, like any sort of login whatsoever, I have to enter that.
Does that cost you anything?
No.
Okay.
Anytime I make a trade, anytime I try to sell something in the market, all this stuff needs authentication. So yeah, it's pretty fucking annoying, and I really don't like it. But at the same time, I understand why Steam is doing this. I read the whole post they had about this, their whole reasoning why they're doing this. And the one thing that stood out to me is that 77,000 accounts a month get hacked on Steam is what they're saying. 77,000.
Wow.
And they said even if you have a really good password and you are very secure, you know, you're still at risk. A lot of it comes down to just not clicking on links that people send you. But, you know, bad shit can happen. And while they can get your account back, they can't get your stuff back once it's traded.
But what are we talking about here? Like a bunch of, you know...
Whatever.
Like cards and stuff, not games.
They're really concerned with items, like CSGO particularly has some very expensive items, and that's what they target. If you have a lot of items and you're a high value target for
these, so these like key loggers and stuff that are like viruses like that and stuff,
just like
WoW.
Yeah, and on Steam, on the forums and stuff, or if people send you messages, you can click on them and it'll just take you to that page. Right. There's no like warning, hey, you're going to a site that's off this.
And scamming is just fucking rampant on Steam. And that's the thing they're really trying to crack down on. And they haven't found any way to do it, so that's why they're implementing this. I don't really trade that much. I trade cards, and those are not valuable at all. A lot of people will trade items from CSGO, Dota 2, Team Fortress 2. Those get extremely valuable. And there's a whole lot of scamming that goes on with that. But I don't know. It's a little bit of a thorn in my side, but I understand why they're doing it.
Yeah, a while back, a guy was offering me like a reclaimed metal for TF2 for like a bunch of stuff that I wasn't using. And like it's a legitimate trade, but I was so sketched out because I know about all these things, you know?
Yeah.
But I ended up going through with it, but I feel like people are probably... It's going to hurt the whole commerce. It's going to continue to do that because people aren't trusting. You know, so many scammers.
Well, if your inventory is public, and it is by default, and it's easier to trade if you leave yours public, which is why I leave mine like that. But people can scan that. And I have a particularly rare item, at least it was at one point in time, called Bill's Hat. It's a TF2 item that you
can't get. Every episode. Jesus Christ.
I haven't brought this up in forever. But it's one of those items that you can't get anywhere else. You got it in TF2 if you bought Left 4 Dead 1, like if you pre-purchased Left 4 Dead 1, I think. And it's a rare item. There are only so many of them out there. You can only get so many. And so it was worth quite a bit. But people used to constantly just message me all the time trying to trade for that item. And it stopped. Like, I don't get any more message. I think it's because I'm always offline. People don't bug me that
that's
much.
That's definitely it.
Yeah, people always ask me, why are you never online? You don't understand. If I go online, it's like boop, 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 boop. Just invites to play, messages, all sorts of random shit. So what do you
You're
get
like
for
Madonna.
Yeah.
Of Steam.
Way cooler than us.
Madonna, that's an old reference.
Yeah.
Hey, man, she was on the...
You're like Madonna if it was 1985.
Yeah. What else is going on with the news?
Something about Facebook.
Yeah, so Facebook tripled their investment into the GPU development, basically, for machine learning, a.k.a. AI and stuff. And that this is coming off of the back of another big news. So there's this chip manufacturer called D-Wave, and they claim to have quantum computing on their chips. It's working at a quantum level.
What does that mean?
That means they're using quantum physics, things that are extremely, extremely small, and the quirky behavior of things that are... So basically, think really quick. Quantum means the study of things that are super small.
Smaller than atoms.
Way smaller, like
quarks and those.
Smaller than that, you're talking about like the really smallest things possible. So just like maybe a quark or things that are smaller than those. It's like one of those is to an atom what an apple would be to the United States.
Okay,
like really, really way small. And once you get down to this size, it's basically magic.
The rules of physics.
Physics fall apart. It's all. It has its all new. I could go on about this for a while.
You love
it. Yeah,
stuff.
I love physics. And so anyway, there's things called superposition where something can be moving and not moving at the same time.
Yeah.
You could have superposition where you could be in two places at once. Things. Mm-hmm. So anyway. Somehow, D-Wave figured out how to put this into computing. Now it's super specific, like only certain. And it's so funny that I talked to a physicist the other day, but very, very specific problems. These quantum chips can figure out 100 million times faster than a regular computer, right? But nobody could really. It's so weird and out there and on the cutting edge that nobody could really back up their claims, right? So then Google's been working on it, and they finally said, hey, 100%, this thing's a quantum chip.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah,
this thing's a quantum chip, and it figured out this thing 100 million times faster than any of our other computers. Right after that, probably 2 days after, Facebook said... They're ramping up their thing. So what this means for gamers, probably nothing for like 10 years, but pretty cool that... Maybe instead of things progressing, you know, exponentially, we got into this big fight, but maybe we're due for a gigantic leap forward.
Gotcha.
So
it's been a while since there's been a real jump in technology, I feel like.
Yeah.
What's the wall or whatever? Isn't it like there's a limit to how fast computing can be? Or isn't there like a law or a theorem or whatever?
Yeah, there's something out there. But
Moore's law?
So, yeah, something like that.
But that means that it's going to continue going. But there's a certain level where, you know, copper and gold isn't going to work anymore.
Yeah.
And now this is the next step. It's quantum.
Hmm. So that's cool.
It's really exciting.
Sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me.
Until I can buy it on Walmart, Bobby doesn't like it. LOL breaks its own record, 334 million viewers this year or something like that.
Okay,
cool. Just, you know, another big number for esports.
Yeah.
It's a coming.
But there's some shit going on with League of Legends. Have you heard about this?
No.
Who owns Riot?
Riot.
Riot Games told OGN, which is like the Korea company that's kind of created the competitive scene out there.
Mm-hmm.
The big teams out there, they've had an A team and a B team. They've got this whole enterprise built up, and the way they operate is a little different than the Western world. But Riot went in and said, oh, no, you can't do that anymore. And if you want to play competitively, you have to follow these specific rules.
And is that kind of like Samsung Blue and Samsung Red or whatever?
Yeah, kind of like that. And if the players don't perform well, they get knocked down to the other team. But the big enterprise teams like that have been the ones that have been crushing it. So the method really works. And that's just kind of how Korean esports developed, at least with League of Legends. I mean, the World Championships for League of Legends, I mean, the top teams are all Korean. But Riot said, oh, no, you can't do that anymore. And for no good reason. And a lot of people are really upset about that.
There's got to be a reason. It might not be a good one. There's got to be a reason.
They gave reasons, but everyone's saying, like, that's bullshit. They feel like it's Riot just trying to come in and assert their dominance over all of this. And I don't know. I don't know. I heard a little bit about it. I haven't read into it yet.
Is this for seasons? Because League of Legends does, like, seasons and like,
They do smaller tournaments,
yeah. And then that builds
up.
Well,
League of Legends is at a point right now where this is where a lot of the change has happened because the World Championships are over, teams are getting reorganized, you know, a lot of restructuring, whatever's going on. So this is the time for change.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they're trying to sneak that in. But I think OGN was initially upset because Riot came out and said this. You know, we talked to OGN and we decided this would be best for the community. And then OGN was like, we never talked. What the hell are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
And we are definitely not on board with this. So,
you know, what's funny is how many Korean players there are and how dominant they are in the esports league, but they don't develop games. You know, it's weird, right?
Yeah.
You would think something big would, maybe they do. And we just don't hear about it.
Well, Samsung's a Korean company, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. But they're doing games.
They're great. Right? It's one of the most emerging economies in the world. They're doing fantastic. I'm just saying, it's funny that they play and.
Well, it's like the observation I made like a couple weeks ago. You never see competitive gamers from Japan, and you said that. Oh yeah, they're all playing console, and there was some pretty big Street Fighter tournaments recently, and the top contenders were Japanese.
Japanese, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, they're all playing the.
There are some, huh? But they're not big in this. What's crazy in Dota, because I've been watching several Dota 2 tournaments. Like U.S. is not bad. Like we do decently. We won the last international and
yeah.
EG OG has several Canadian players, so the North American scene is alive and well in Dota 2.
Very cool,
which is surprising.
And just a very quick note on the same subject, EA, which is one of the biggest developers and publishers, is they have they're opening a competitive game division. So, you know, every week we bring you even more like esport this. We just have a new segment.
Yep.
We introduce a new segment.
Which you didn't know about.
Yeah. So, you know. It's just going to continue growing, which is good because it's just another game, another thing.
It feels like it really has arrived, though, because I remember talking about a year, maybe more than a year ago, about, you know, when will esports really get big? When will it finally hit? And I feel like it has. I mean, it's on cable TV now. It's,
yeah, what TV? What channel is it?
TBS.
TBS. Yeah.
TBS.
Turner and WGM or W something.
It'll be right in between super old episodes of Seinfeld and Friends.
Well, the problem is, just like UFC, when UFC tries to go on like Fox,
yeah,
and they just mangle it,
yeah,
they're going to do the same thing with esports, and so it's going to have, like, remember when they did Magic tournaments on TV, and it was just
ESPN El Ocho.
It was horrible to watch because they tried to put like Chris Berman on trying to talk about like Magic.
Nobody's going to watch this. Everybody who watches esports watches it on the computer because
on Twitch, yeah.
So
well. The people, and they're trying to get more people into this, and cable is a perfect place to do it because that's the people that they aren't reaching. So I understand right. Their strategy yeah. here. You know, you don't need to preach to the choir. You don't need to get the people who are already watching it on Twitch. You need to get the people who are not aware of this.
But how many people flip channels these days?
Yeah. The problem is.
And do we want them?
the problem is football or something like that makes billions of dollars off their television news, their television rights, billions. And so that's a huge market. And if they can figure out another sport to get in that market, mm-hmm. they could potentially make billions of dollars. The problem is we're not going to stand for commercials when we could Twitch stream it without commercials. And then Adblock, of course, throws a whole nother thing into the mix.
Yeah.
So
there's still commercials on Twitch, though.
Yeah, there are. There are. But essentially, there's no Twitch premium, is there? Like, you can subscribe to people's channels and you can donate and stuff like that, but yeah, all of the Twitch content is free.
Yeah, I don't think you can get the ads removed even by paying.
Yeah.
Eventually, by the way, with YouTube, you're going to be able to do that.
Get your shit together and get your viewer list working properly, please.
Yeah.
It's kind of annoying.
It's gotten better, but I feel like, yeah, I feel like there's some fundamentally things, there's just some things about Twitch that could be improved. Still, I'll go to Twitch every now and then, and I'll just have a problem with video playing. I don't know why that is or what causes it.
How's the streaming going?
Flying Hawaiian bought, like, he's all in, man. He bought a green screen, and he has a mic stand and all that stuff. Yeah, nice. He's digging it. So he's bringing in some people, which is cool.
He streams sometimes on our DLGaming.net.
And the other day he did it while I was supposed to be streaming and he left it running. So
that's right.
It's growing pains, folks. It's growing pains. We've all done it. Talk to my bare ass.
Yeah.
And yeah. You guys got anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Yep. Let's wrap up this motherfucker. So speaking for Bobby, thanks for listening. Speaking for Chad, and speaking for myself, titties.